This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann, and I am joined by Mawira Karatai. Welcome back, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. It's lovely to be back. It's been a bit of a mad time getting everything ready for our earthquake days, our changing coast days that we're having in Whakatane in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, just been a bit crazy trying to get all that done and do all my other jobs.
And you went to America and you're busy teaching.
Oh, yeah, I went to America and I just feel like I'm all over the place at the moment. I'm home basically for the next 2 weeks, which is really nice, and then back on the road again.
What did you go to America for?
I went to America... Oh, Sam, we could do a whole interview about why I went to America and why I wish I didn't. I went there looking for some hopefulness in the funding spaces for biodiversity and biodiversity credits as an alternative to carbon credits from forestry, especially from exotic forestry, and came home sadly recognising that New Zealand actually leads the world, and we're not anywhere near where we need to be, and yet we're the leaders. So that's extremely sad.
It is indeed. But you're making lots of progress with the Changing Coast work?
Yes, our Changing Coast work is coming along really well. And then we've got, in 2 weeks' time, we've got what we're calling Earthquake Day, which is looking at the impact of a Hikarangi subduction zone megathrust earthquake on the whole of the east coast of the North Island of Aotearoa. And also a really cool initiative around education for rangatahi, but also their adults on... our changing coast, so that's vertical land movement, sea level rise, climate change. So, really exciting stuff.
You've been busy.
Just a bit.
So,
been a mum.
So, talking about positive response in the face of adversity, who are we interviewing today?
It is my absolute great pleasure to reintroduce, I think for like the fourth or maybe fifth, we're trying to work it out, interview with us, the very wonderful Lucky Hawkins. Lucky lives in the East Coast region of Aotearoa, North Island. Lucky is the Education and Delivery Manager for Te Wānanga o Aotearoa and has survived and endured and guided her community through some absolute tragedies that were born of climate change and impact of Cyclone Gabrielle on her community. And Lucky's also in the final year of her Doctor of Professional Practice qualification with Otago Polytech. Welcome, Lucky, and it's lovely to have you back with us today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here today.
Welcome back, Lucky. Mawira almost stumbled there over the lives in part. Where are you, Lucky?
That's a really long story. To make a long story short, I was raised in Gisborne, but lived for 11 years in Wairoa, pre-Gabrielle. I unfortunately had to move away due to being displaced for some for some time, probably about 6 months, to Gisborne, where I camped at the beach, and realised that I really, my yearning to move back to Wairoa was strong, so I did move back. And in the 4 months that I have been back, have found that there is basically nowhere to live, which has made me make some very, very tedious decisions to have to possibly move away again. I'm currently in the Hawke's Bay with whānau. I'm trying to navigate work, study, my living situation. So things have been dire, but I have been pivoting quite rapidly with the given situation. Where would I like to live? I would absolutely want to live in Wairoa. Is that practical right now? No, it's not. And that's not from lack of trying, of course, but I have to be practical. It's winter. If it was summer, it would be fine. I'm very resilient. I'd probably just camp at the beach, but that's just not possible in this given environment and climate. So where am I at the moment? I'm living with whānau for the next month and probably going to be relocating back to Gisborne due to work commitments, who have been very, very wonderful. But yes, my work is dictating where I live at the moment. Will I move back to Wairoa? I really do sincerely hope so. If not, it's not that far from Gisborne, so commuting there to help with programs that I set up post Gabriel will definitely be attended to. Not as much as what it would be if I was there, but something is better than nothing.
So you spent the summer starting out in quite a small tent, and then I think a bigger tent, and then a bus.
It was a very small tent. I ordered a tent, a brand new tent off Trade Me, quite a large tent, a 12-person tent, and unfortunately got scammed and that didn't come. So that in itself was an experience, having to wait for a tent. So I had brought my two nephews a pup tent. They're very young, so you can imagine how big the tent was. So lived in that at Pauawa Beach and Turihawa Beach for about 3 months, and moved back to Wairoa because I thought, well, if I'm really serious about trying to be part of the solution, I need to ingrain myself into the solution, feed on the ground, and moved back to Wairoa and brought an old house bus. That was quite a rash decision. And I've found out since the bus needs a little bit more work than I first anticipated. It was desperation, I will admit, and it was rash, but it was something that had to be done so that I had somewhere to stay other than a tent. So, yes, I have a bus. I'm not in it at the moment because it's not feasible given it has developed leaky roof syndrome. So it's covered with a tarp at a friend's house. The other extenuating circumstances there are there's just no tradies available to do any of the work that I need done on it. So we're thinking that we may have to relocate the bus to Gisborne to get in hope of finding someone available to get this bus done, hopefully before summer. So navigating winter has been quite hard. It's been tough.
So when I first talked about getting you back on the show to talk about what was going on with you, it was mostly going to be talking about a really exciting initiative about these pod houses. Can you tell us about what it didn't end up happening, but can you tell us what was attempted with these pod houses?
Yes, so I'm registered with the local iwi there, which meant that I qualified, so I was told, for one of these pods. I was absolutely...
This is a small relocatable house.
Yes, a one-bedroom home, fully self-contained. They tap into existing services, so you have everything that you need, all of the basic comforts of life. Through a conversation on the phone, I was told I 100% qualify. Went to two meetings after that phone hui, and it didn't sound as promising as it really was on the phone. So herein lies the problem of buying the bus. When I was told it could take 3 months, it could take 6 months. I'm very patient, so I thought, okay, I'll buy the bus so that at least I've got somewhere. I also applied through another organisation who I probably won't name, and got right to the last step, one day, in fact, before they were able to relocate this pod. This is another pod, another organisation from Palmerston North Army Camp. And unfortunately, I was given news that if I was not going back to the property that was flooded, I didn't qualify for the funding. So, yeah, that those two pods have fallen through. The iwi pod, going back to that a little bit, I believe they ran out of funding. And what I believe as well is that I'm probably maybe one of the only ones that didn't receive a pod. So it is very disappointing, very, very disappointing.
And the decision not to fund because you're not going back onto the land which is demonstrably flood prone just seems like such a nonsense.
Absolutely, considering there's no services there. It's been stickered to the point where I don't know that they will ever do anything on that land again. The building that I lived in, I would absolutely believe that it would be demolished at some point. So things are, the recovery process, even though you hear in the media, and I heard in the media while I was there, the town is thriving, it's this and that. Hope is one thing that people have. Yes, we hope. Yes, we hope. We're keeping positive. But the progress, short of saying it's stopped, I'd say it's stunted. A lot of things that have happened there is the roading. So the roading has actually just opened on one end 24/7, and that was about 2 to 3 weeks ago. So that has had a major impact on getting services, getting tradies, all of those sorts of things into the community. And it just really disappoints me when you hear on the news, you know, there's so many other people that were flood affected as well that are getting the help they need, when we've almost been forgotten about. That may seem extreme, but it's how I feel anyway.
I am going to put here the first of our tracks. Let's have the Chills, Heavenly Pop.
Now I guess we are angels, for we
Vicky, you have endured so much disappointment and frustration, and I can hear sadness in your voice, but I don't hear resentment. And I wonder, how is it that you're able to keep walking into the future with such a positive feel and with a positive view after having endured so much disappointment?
I'll tell you what, there's been moments of, I wouldn't say darkness, but there has been moments where I've just thought, oh, what is going on? But I can't allow myself to go down that slippery slope. I've actually done quite a lot of mahi online. I've done Mahi A Atua, so that's an Indigenous wellness program. That has helped immensely. And fortunately enough, that was funded through a flood recovery program. I found that online. I did that, so that has helped a lot with my mental health, spiritual health, those types of things. I've also injected myself into work counselling as well, so we have EAP. So I've been quite proactive there. And all of that process has been changing my mindset, you know, not allowing myself to regress, stabilizing myself in a way to say, okay, this has happened, I have to pivot, I have to think of what I can do next and just not go backwards. Positivity, I try to keep positive because I really do not want to go backwards. It's happened, I can't change the past, but what I can do is I can change my future, and hopefully I will be there to try and help other people in their future.
Is that sense of we've got these supports and we've got these programs, is that being picked up by the wider community? Do people know about those things that they can access?
In the community where they're based, they do. I'm quite proactive with engaging with the community. However, that is on a social media platform. Physically, I do go to all of our wānanga that are held. I do try to make my presence known there. Could I do more? Of course, absolutely I could do more. Given the circumstances, I have to know that I'm doing enough. A home would help a lot. That would help immensely. If I was in a stable home, warm during the winter, of course my mindset would just be so much better. Physically I would be better. But yeah, I believe I'm doing enough.
You're doing more than enough, Lucky. You're doing above and beyond what could ever be asked for or expected by anyone. And I just worry that other services aren't doing enough. That the supports, that you can't do this all by yourself. There has to be people who are doing this with you. And I guess that's what I meant by that, is that, you know, is there enough out there that people can tap into to get those supports, to find out about what's available to them? And if not, what does there need to be? What would, if you could add anything to what's happening at the moment, what would it be for the wider community?
I would probably say the program that I did, if they did something like that in Wairoa, I think that would be great. I have seen some courses like that pop up, but in all honesty, I don't know that they're similar to the one that I did. They're quite specialised, whereas I think for the flood affected especially, those types of, not so much, I don't like the word support groups, but I do like the word maybe manaaki to help rather than to support. To help rather than support, because yeah, support sort of suggests that we need and I think the person has to want as well. You have to be ready to receive the help.
That's a nice attitude. What do you know, if you know, you said that the first pod that you missed out on was a funding issue. What other funding is being resourced or allocated into your community? Because I know that there has been something in the media recently about some more money coming in for recovery. Is the iwi fund going to be bolstered so that people can get into homes?
That's actually a really good question. Something that I didn't mention before with the iwi funding, where that fell over as well, was that I was told, so I was only renting.
Right.
I wasn't insured. So because I was only renting, I also didn't qualify. So the funding that is coming in, I'm not hopeful that I'll receive any of that. What I've been told is that that funding will be will go towards community groups or businesses. That has also been relayed to me by the council as well. Any additional funding is for community groups, not individuals or not families. And they did tell me specifically it is only for ratepayers.
Whoa.
So if you didn't own the house, more or less you're not getting a bean.
That's outrageous.
It was hard to swallow, yeah. But you have to get to a point where you just have to walk away with what dignity you've got rather than to fight a losing battle.
Yeah, I totally understand that. What sort of homelessness numbers are there in the Wairoa community at the moment? How many people are in your situation where they don't have a home?
I don't know that there's many anymore, apart from myself. I do know that all of the people that applied for pods, except for myself, were successful to some degree. And whether that was loan pods or what have you, I could be wrong. I actually don't know what the statistics are there, to be honest. I don't really want to say it's just me. That would be wrong of me to say that. I can really only comment about my situation. We do hear positive outcomes on the media, of course. We've done this and we've done that. But you never hear about what hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Not so much the failures but or the shortcomings, but the gaps. I'd like to use that word rather than shortcomings or failures.
If you had the opportunity to speak to the people who are in the positions of power to make change in the housing space, and really specifically about finding a home for you, because it is just not okay that you have got no home, what would your message be to them? If you could say something to them now, what would that be?
It would be that we all have our own unique situations and circumstances. While I understand that funding has specific criteria, I would hope that I would get further along in the process, or at least have the full rationale as to why things aren't happening, and at least an option to pivot or to say, what do I need to do? What can I do? Not just a straight no, you don't qualify for this, and you don't qualify. Hearing no, doesn't help. You want to know, what can I do? What is there? What other options are there? Rather than a straight no. That's all I'd want to say is, when you're sold an idea or told something and then it doesn't happen, how are you meant to react?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I can't imagine that you are the only person that this is happening to. I imagine that this is going to be happening to a lot of other people in that community who don't have a voice and don't have a platform, don't have the confidence to actually stand up and say, this is what's happening to me. And it's it would be really interesting to have a little dig into that. Mm-hmm. If you were able to find a home right now, where would it be? What would be the ideal situation for you?
I'd be living in Wairoa.
Okay, so could you live in Wairoa at the moment and do your work?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. No. So the ideal situation right at the minute, where would you be? Just so that because you don't know who's listening that might be able to help find somewhere for you to be.
I would ideally be living in Wairoa and be working in a remote situation where I commuted to work as required.
Right.
When I say as required, it couldn't be any more than 2 to 3 days, because that would take me away from my community that's more in need. Definitely not diminishing my other needs on site or on campus, but given the situation that we're currently in the Hawke's Bay, I do believe that we are higher needs at the moment.
Okay.
So where would I live? I would absolutely live in Wairoa. My main reasoning for wanting to live in Wairoa, so when I came back to tertiary study, I had done a few courses, programs, from about 19 years of age till about 38, but nothing really substantial that was life-changing for me. And while living in Wairoa, I returned to tertiary education, and I took it by the horns and went full ball. And I did all of my tertiary study from Wairoa. So I want to finish my DPP, my doctorate, in Wairoa. My study is for Wairoa and other remote communities. And that is my main reason for wanting to be there, to finish what I've started.
Bubble Sprite of the Forest of Orokanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui kia koutou ko tahua hau. I hope you all have a best day, beautiful superstars, in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are and whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together has proven to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more each day. Who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Thank you. Now, I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and it's so important that we give to ourselves and each other the time, the space, the love, the care, the compassion, the understanding, the empathy, the forgiveness, the kindness, the space to speak and share, a listening ear, a comfy shoulder, open arms, open hearts, all these things, fundamentally to ourselves and to each other. I know for me, of course, the living world is always a great comfort, and I will be returning to my heart's home workplace, Orokanui Eco Sanctuary, tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. And at the moment, I'm staying with my whānau on the peninsula, which is so beautiful. And looking out every morning to see the sea, to hear the sea, to smell the sea. It's such a pleasure and privilege. And I was able to move my beautiful cat, Captain Arthur Hastings, here a couple of days ago. And so now I'm really all set. I've got all the things that I need. And we've moved Pekka Pekka HQ out here, my bird feeding business. And so, yes, I'm ready to have a fresh start. I'm thinking that I will help some of my friends with accommodation and things with Te Wā Mansion, and I will live somewhere else. And this is partly because I'm going through a separation, but also because it's so important that the space around us enlivens and inspires us every day. And of course that the space within us enlivens and inspires us every day. And when it is, there are obstacles to that, and when there are difficulties with that, sometimes moving into a new environment can be so helpful. And so here I am in quite a new environment, and it's so refreshing. I have minimal positions, and I am thinking about my remaining possessions and how to sell them or give them away or gift them. And yeah, real time of new beginnings for me, which is exciting. So I really hope for you in these moments of transition in your life, when things are changing and patterns you've been moving through, maybe like me for the last 10 years or so, are coming to an end, and you're creating new patterns, that you have a safe and supportive space to do this in, that you have a space that is beautiful within you and around you, that you have a space which is welcoming within you and around you, that you have a space which is loving within you and around you, And you have a space which is curious, which is open to the new and open to things unfolding differently from now on. I know for myself that so much was bound up in Te Wā Mansion, beautiful, beautiful, my beautiful home for the last more than 10 years. And in having some time and space away from her, I'm starting to disentangle myself from those memories. And of course, being part of this show is such a pleasure and privilege. So a huge thank you to Sam and the whole Blowing Bubbles team. And I really hope for you, things are an exciting series of new beginnings. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Lucky Hawkins. Lucky, the last time that we talked, you were quite excited about the work in Wairoa using the education programs as a lever for strengthening the community. How's that going?
Absolutely wonderful. So I'm quite, I'm very engaged in our programs that we have in Wairoa at the moment. We have two running at the moment and one more starting in the next few weeks. We did originally have more, but due to medical issues, unfortunately some of those haven't eventuated yet. In saying that, the work done to foundate them is still there, so those can definitely be picked up at a later date. The work that we're doing with the programs, it's all about community wellbeing. Whichever way we look at it, all of these programs is about getting people and like-minded people that have gone through whatever situation that they've gone through into a positive environment, using education to change their mindsets, to give them more confidence, and to hopefully be leaders in their own whānau. And their wider community themselves. So I really do enjoy going to the wānanga that we hold at these programs.
That's interesting that you're seeing, or you're getting traction from that well-being sort of space, because I think initially the plan was carpentry, because you've got a family history in carpentry, and it was about those technical skills. But it's broadened from that.
It has. I've never regressed away from carpentry. I still did actually try to get that program or to foundate the program or some program at our marae. That didn't eventuate due to other situations, Gabriel, building compliance, all of those sorts of things. Has it been lost? Absolutely not. All of that work that I did there is definitely still there. One thing that I am is I'm very impatient, and unfortunately that's my undoing in some situations. But what I'm finding out very quickly is just because something doesn't happen straight away, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. All of that foundational work is still there. It just means that you have to screw a few more nuts and bolts to make it more viable and to align with not so much community needs, but organisational, governmental needs, council needs, etc., etc. So, yeah, just tightening a few nuts and bolts is what needs to happen. Mm.
What does the future for Wairoa look like?
That is a very big question. In regards to recovery or in general?
Both.
I actually laughed and almost snickered, and I realised that wasn't tasteful, but it was how I felt when I heard on the media that Wairoa's absolutely thriving at the moment, and I thought, well, where? I don't see that. I don't hear it. I don't feel it. What I do hear and what I do see and what I do notice in the community is for sale signs of businesses closing, and this is on a bi-weekly time frame. I'm seeing another business is closed and another business is closed or another business is for sale. So they're not just selling up, they're actually closing the doors. What will happen in Wairoa in the near future? Near future as in year to 2 years, I think progress is very slow, and I think it would be very unrealistic to think that the town is going to bounce back within 5 to 8 years. possibly would take longer. People are still not in their homes, and from what I see, the work has stopped. Cleaning people's houses, apart from what they're doing for themselves, has stopped. I see charities, I see church groups, I see other voluntary organisations going in there and still doing the cleanup, but the cameras are gone now. They've all gone. Are we forgotten? I don't think we're forgotten. I just think it's in a too hard basket and the money's dried up. So it was very gung-ho when the cameras were there, but I don't see that hustle and bustle anymore. I see the pods becoming more permanent than semi-permanent, and people are actually evolving their homes around the pod now. They're relying on them. That is becoming their new norm. Do they have hope of getting back into their homes? Of course. When do I think that that's going to happen? I really have no idea, because they're relying on community groups and charities to help them to do the clean. Where is the money? I have no idea. It is, where is it spent? Well, I know I got next to nothing, so I can only talk about my own situation.
Let's squeeze in the second of our music tracks. Let's have the Monkees, Daydream Believer.
Could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Night on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer up, sleep.
While the boys were happily singing there, you were telling us you're a trier, that you tried 10 different things because one of them will work. Where does that resilience come from? Where does that mindset come from?
Some people could call it stubborn. Some people could call it pig-headed. I like to think of it as I like a challenge. Some of the challenges do become a lot, but I'm very driven. I do like hurdles. Some of the hurdles that have been thrown at me are just so unbelievable. I try to pivot. That's my word of the moment is pivot. I've just got to keep continuously pivoting. Otherwise, if I really sat down and looked at the situation and thought, wow, that is a lot. Just one thing going on in my life is a lot. But to have numerous things going on, I think if I thought too much about it, it would probably be on a negative decline rather than an incline. So I just focus towards the future.
You are writing up your experiences for your doctoral work. If we had set out to put you through what you've gone through, there's no way we would have got ethics for it. So it's a story that absolutely must be told because you couldn't set out to tell it. So it makes it even more important that this story comes together to see what we can learn from it. Because it's what's happening and that you are getting through it. And you're pulling together and describing what we call your framework of practice, which your framework of practice as it's emerging is based on concepts of a flounder, bringing in Rongoa. How's that going?
Really, really good, actually. So I'm going to a writing retreat in about 2 weeks' time because I won a Rangaho Contestable Fund. I suppose you would call it a writing contest. What I've noticed is that all the little things that I have been doing have, and I shouldn't say little, I shouldn't diminish them. I have definitely taken what I've taken from all of the things that I've done. When Gabriel happened, I did a diploma in Rongoa. That was wonderful. I also did the Healing Our Spirit trip to Canada. All of these little things have just been really, really great. What I did get out of the Rongoa diploma was not only about being able to heal yourself with traditional remedies, but the alternative methods, models, theories that are out there other than what we see every day. So the unspoken, the unseen, those are the types of things that I'm really grasping more towards. For example, the medicines, living alternative ways of being. I ideally want to live off the grid. I want to go back to a more natural way of life, gathering my own food. I have actually started doing that. Whether it's getting kawakawa, I've been bathing in kawakawa leaves. I've been drinking kawakawa tea every morning. When I see a lemon tree or a lime tree or fruit, I actually go into the house and knock on the door and say, hey, you know, how much would it cost to get a few of these? So going back to the basics, it's definitely not a new concept, but for me it is new. It's also, it's really opened my mind to see that we have a lot of natural resources out there and we have very good people that are out there, but reaching out is a really big thing, something that I don't like to do. I don't like to ask people for things, whether it's pride, I don't know. But it is something that I'm not ashamed of anymore. You can barter. I can offer my services for something if I want something. Collecting things on the side of the road at the beach, I've found numerous kawakawa spots. I've found chives, I've found wild things. I've been looking into plants that grow at different times of the year in the community. So, sorry, I went totally off the track there. Can you just rephrase the question?
No, you just keep going because what you're saying is awesome.
I've just been grasping at different things that I can do to fill my cup with positivity rather than to really look at the situation in a linear space, I suppose you call it. I'm looking right outside my norm to fill my cup and to fill my soul.
And do you think that is something which we can prepare people for, that we can... Can we teach that mindset?
What I do know, seeing what I'm seeing now, I've got a different pair of glasses on. They were quite rose-coloured before, and all of these things have been readily available for my entire life, but until you're actually looking for something specific, you don't find it. It could be right in front of your nose. All of these plants, all of these people that live this type of lifestyle has really only come about because of, in my situation, losing everything, everything materialistic that I was attached to, until you lose that, it's hard to let go. But when it's taken from you, you don't have a choice.
And you've got two trips overseas coming up?
I do. I have a trip shortly to go to Rarotonga. So my grandmother was born in Rarotonga, and she moved to New Zealand when she was 17 years old with, I believe, five other Rarotongan women, and married Māori farmers from Wairoa. So I'm going back there to retrace some of that whakapapa. And I'm also hoping to go to Fiji as a leadership coach in October, as well as the writing retreat as well. Sorry, that was one more, in Auckland in July.
We have some questions to end the show. We've asked you this before, so I'll ask some subsets. What's the biggest success you've had in the last year?
The biggest success, I know it might sound crazy, but working on my health, changing my entire health. I actually have a plan. I've completely stopped drinking, smoking, which was a huge thing for me, and I focus on my health. So walking at least 5 days a week, stretches, that has all helped with my mental health, spiritual health. I've also had a full WOF, physical warrant of fitness. And all of the things, the issues, the health issues that have come about and been raised with this WOF, I have a plan to work on. I'm working towards that plan. It's probably quite a crass thing to say, but working a 9-to-5 does get in the way of that.
I need to say, that does not sound crazy at all. That seems like the most important thing anybody could ever do.
So it is a focus that I definitely want to continue with. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying my new lifestyle. I think the way that I think is a lot different to what it was 6 months ago. My health has improved amazingly. I'm getting through all of my work, and I'm enjoying everything that I'm doing. I think that is a key thing. Before, it was a chore. It was a task that I would just tick off a list and I would just get through it. Now, everything that I do, it fulfills a little part of me. They all add to my my collage of me. I'm deliberately making them add to my collage of me.
Which other question should we have? What's your superpower?
Resilience. 100%. No matter what comes my way, I will pivot.
It's nice that that's not a stone wall type resilience, but a more flexible resilience.
Absolutely. I am very flexible. I'm very resilient in a way where if this doesn't work, I may look at that. I don't look at one thing as a be-all and end-all. I might just take a portion of that or a piece of it. And a piece of something else, and a piece of something else. So, I definitely don't let anything get in the way.
And let's go for our last question, which is, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Taking one step at a time. I know that's quite an old thing to say, but it really is relevant. Looking towards the future, don't look back. Learn from the past, of course, absolutely. Learn from your past, but just know that if you keep moving forward, whether it be a centimetre at a time or a millimetre at a time, know that what you are doing is enough and keep on going. Be kind to yourself. It is enough.
Thank you for that. Mawira.
Lucky, it's time that the world started being kind to you in that same way. It's time for some amazing change, and I can't believe what you've had to endure and still remain the incredibly positive woman that you are, giving so much of yourself to everyone else. I'm really happy to hear that you're also starting to give some of that to yourself, because you are so worth it. You're so worth it. And I just hope that that a solution will present itself really soon, that will see you in a home so that you can carry on this incredible journey and continue to be the amazing inspiration that you are to others. Thank you for joining us today. Kia ora, Lucky.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook. We have a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, spoolings, spoolings, spoolings.
This is off the Kalpapa Anthems album, Chad Chambers.
What's the time, Mr. Wu? What's the time, Mr. Wu? What's the time?
I've been joined today by Mawira Karatai in Whakatane and Lucky Hawkins from Wairoa, but not in Wairoa. She's in Hastings today. I'm Sam. That's Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Ngā te wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.